Hi, welcome back to Power Talk. This is Tony Robbins. Tonight is going to be a very exciting evening, and I'm very, very pleased to be able to introduce to you a couple that have had a dramatic effect on the quality of my life. In fact, I believe that of all the Power Talks you've listened to, this may be one of the most important ones of all. This session, I think, will change your life as much as anything else that we can talk about. And the reason I say that is because no matter what it is you want in your life, a better relationship, you want to better your career, you want to have more impact on your children, you want to make more money, whatever you want, a more spiritual life, none of those things are even possible if you don't handle this area of your life called your energy and your health. And we're interesting as a society because we don't value our health and our bodies anywhere near as much as we do other things. I mean, most people value money much more. You look at people and they're rushing around and they're giving up their body, saying they have no time for it because they're busy trying to figure out how to earn more or make their career more profound. But they'll take time for that, or they'll take time for their kids, or they'll take time to figure out what to do in some other area of their life. But the body seems to be the last area we pay attention to. And yet it's the one that bites us the hardest. 1 out of 3 people now die of cancer, 1 out of 2 of heart disease in this country. And they're preventable diseases for the most part, according to the National Academy of Sciences, that says so much of it is diet and lifestyle related. But there's so much out there that confuses us about what to do. So we do what we're certain about. And my goal here is to make sure that you can get all those things you want, the great relationship with your kids, great career, great business. But I don't want you to be one of those people that's out there running around trying to make sure that you get it all, and then you lose you in the process. You know, richest man in the graveyard is not anybody's goal. And you all know the old story about Malcolm Forbes. They say, how much money did he leave when he died? The answer is all of it, right? Now, while that's a joke, it's also very true. So tonight, we really want to focus on a really dramatic way of looking at how to immediately impact the quality of your life and specifically your energy. Because energy is life. A lot of people think of health as being just the absence of disease. But health is really when all the systems of your body are operating at their highest efficiency, when you are optimized, when you really are mobilized as a human being. Everything is in balance. And it's very hard to do that today with the way most of us are living. But I've found a couple and a research scientist that is as brilliant as anyone I've ever met in my 21 years of focus in this area. And the reason I want to introduce him to you is because I think he can provide for you some answers tonight. One of those answers might be, well, what do I really do? Why, even though I'm eating really well or I'm working out really hard, how come I can't lose those last 10 or 15 pounds? I mean, I'm really exercising. I'm really driven. I mean, I can't understand my metabolism isn't high enough when I'm given this much. I think you're going to find the answer to that question at a real basic level. What can I do immediately to improve my energy? Because my diet seems to be good, but I still don't feel that zest I once did. Well, here's how to change that. And you'll understand why you don't feel the way you want to feel. Or if you're already feeling great, how can I maximize it? And then lastly, if you have a significant health challenge, tonight might be a second opinion. It might give you another way to look at that challenge and another area to pursue and educate yourself in that might give you some really dramatic new choices and opportunities. Now, the reason I'm so fascinated by this is because of my own experience. Most of you who are familiar with Power Talk or my work know that I've really prided myself on being Mr. Energy, right? You know, I'm the guy from the front of the room. I've got to be able to take 2,000 or 20,000 people at a time and carry them for 3 days of pure energy and keep them riveted. So you got to have a certain amount of energy to do that, to say the least. And a lot of that came from a set of principles that I created many years ago, or I elicited from others many years ago, which I call my living health principles. And what we're going to talk about today is totally in alignment with all of that, except one principle. You'll hear me reverse something I've taught for 10 or 15 years, because I've seen some new science that shows me the dramatic changes you can make by making just a few shifts in some of your dietary patterns. Anyway, I found myself in a position where I've continued to use that energy, but as the years have gone by, you know, I'm now 39 years old, I started to feel a little less. I started to feel burnt out. And I thought, well, you know, when you're doing 100 plus or 200 plus days on the road, you know, it kind of gets to you. But I thought, you know, but I used to do it. And people say, well, you're getting older. And I didn't want to hear that one at all, right? And I don't believe it either. I have a friend that's 70 years old who now bench presses more than 400 pounds. He's one of the most fit, healthy, energetic people I know. Most people think of somebody in 70 as, you know, bent over and tired and exhausted and their life's ending. I mean, this man is my role model, so I know that a lot of that is belief systems. But at the same time, I had all this energy in the seminars and it was dynamic, but I just felt like I was going below my reserve, so to speak. You know, like I was giving my all, and at the end, oh my God, the recovery time was very, very intense. And I was using more of my mental drive to get the job done. And so I realized when you start feeling that exhausted and tired, even though you're working hard, what's probably building up is you're putting more energy out than you're having time to recoup. I was becoming enervated. And when you do that, your body stops working at its optimum levels. It's no longer at its total functional efficiency. And you start to build up toxicity in your system. So I needed to go on a cleanse. And so I decided I would do so. But before I did so, I thought, you know what I need to do? I need to go get a blood test and really see my blood. I'm a big believer in some of the scientific work done in Germany where you see people's live blood. Not the dried blood test alone where they stain it and change it, but where you see your blood and see what's really going on. Like, for example, if you have gone to Master University, you've probably had your own blood test because everyone there gets a blood test. And we get to see your red blood cells. They carry the oxygen to your system. And if you had a really fatty, traditionally fatty meal, an American meal, the kinds of fats, saturated fats your body can't deal with, those red blood cells stick together. And as they do, they move more slowly through the system. So you get less oxygen, you have less energy. So I thought, you know, maybe, you know, I think I'm eating well, but maybe, you know, that's happened. Long story shortened, and it's a long introduction, but I wanted to give you an idea why I'm so passionate about this. I found myself in a position where I went to go get a special kind of blood test. There used to be something called dark field microscopes, now these ultra light microscopes, where you can literally see in your blood to the level of things like candida and actually see it in the bloodstream. It's very fascinating. So I had my blood done, and it was very, very disturbing because I had been burning myself out, going with no reserves for so long that my immune system was really beat up. My white blood cells were ripped open, and I knew what that meant. It was very disturbing. And I was full of candida, or yeast forms, which I've been reading about for years. And these candida were basically eating away my energy, consuming my glucose, the sugar in your body, and causing me to go out there and give all this energy but not have a reserve for it. And so as I did this blood test, the person said, listen, I can help you turn this around immediately. I said, well, show me what it means. They said, well, here's a woman who came in who's had severe health problems. Here's what her blood looks like. And it looks similar to mine. And she said, she's starting to degenerate, but here she is 30 days later. And they showed me an example of her blood on video, and it was totally pure. They said, in 30 days, she turned that around. I said, I'm sold. Let's do it. So they offered me some nutritional products. One of the challenges I traditionally have, and those of you've been around me know that I've not promoted vitamins in my 20-plus year experience in this business, and I could have done it to make money, but most vitamins just go through the system. Most vitamins are not absorbed. Most of it ends up as expensive urine, and so I've never been big on that. And also, I don't want to do something. Anything will make you feel good for the moment. I wanted something that was scientific. And they said, come back in 30 days, and you'll see the difference in your blood. And they said, you really should meet this man, Dr. Young. And Dr. Robert Young, he's a genius in this area. He's a microbiologist who really made these distinctions. And I think you'd really like him. So long story short, I went away to Fiji. I went there for about 30 days. My wife, when she had her blood done, had a very different diet. She was eating animal products. So she had parasites in her blood. It was very scary to her. And you see this thing breaking out of a cell, like a worm form right there. It gets your full attention. And so I was saying to her, see, you shouldn't eat all those animal products, right? And she goes, well, look at you. You're not exactly a picture of health, right? So we had a good time. And we both made our changes in our diet. And we began to what's called alkalize our system, which you're going to learn about in this session. Final portion of the story is this. 30 days later, I came in, and my white blood cells are perfect, candida completely outside of my body. And I didn't try to kill it off, as some people teach. And we'll talk about that. And Becky had no parasites in her system. That, not only did I feel extraordinary, but I thought, you know, whenever you cleanse, you feel extraordinary. I really got to see the difference in my blood. And I began to share this work with many other people. And then I met Dr. Young. And now, you know, I'm just a total fan. I'm a raving fan of the impact of his work. And I brought him to Master University. And I've seen the impact that he's had on people from 70 countries. Because at Life Mastery, we now test every single person's blood, and they get to see what's really going on, and then they get to see it afterwards. Within a few days or a few weeks, the drama, the dramatic shift, is amazing. So that's kind of a long introduction, but I really wanted to give you a sense of how important this is. And Dr. Young is a scientist. He's a microbiologist, and he has spent his entire life focusing on the blood. So my goal by telling you all this was to get you excited enough so you'll stick with us, because he might get a little technical on us, and I've got to try and, you know, keep it really simple so that we all understand it. And I've had the privilege of being able to invite his wife Shelley with him as well, because she's the one who makes this really practical. Because in the middle of this, you might go, well, what can I eat? And Shelley will come in and to the rescue with her cape and say, here's the solution, here's how you can eat so well and really enjoy yourself and have it really be effective. And she also is really a phenomenal communicator in helping to simplify this. So we're going to introduce the two of them now who've been patiently waiting here on the couch. And I'm going to start primarily with our focus on Dr. Young, and then we'll go to Shelley. But first of all, guys, thanks for coming. Oh,
thank you, Tony. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. You have affected my life, you know, dramatically. I've always prided myself on health, as I've talked about. I've always had tons of energy. But your work gave me my reserves back. And I just want people to know that not only have you had a dramatic effect on my life and hundreds of thousands of other people, but I went to Dr. Neil Solomon. Some of you who are part of our Master University probably remember Dr. Solomon. He's used to be head of nutrition at Johns Hopkins University. And also, he's the head of the United Nations Aging Council, and I think the council on head of the Council on Health and Science. And I asked him if he would come see you, because I said, some of the things this man has shown me are mind-boggling to me, but I don't have your medical background. Please come check it out. Tell me what you think. I've experienced this stuff, but maybe it's anecdotal. I've seen a change in my blood that's so dramatic, and I feel the change. And he promised me he'd come out and spend 2 hours with you, but as you know, he spent 2 days. And he ate your food, and he didn't want to leave, and he came back and said, Tony, my God, he has shown me things in the blood that I have not seen in 25-plus years. He said, this is extraordinary what this man is doing, and I know he's going to try and set up now this new study at Johns Hopkins and also, I guess, at Harvard to support some of the new discoveries you've made. But I just want to ask you, first, how do you become the guy that lives staring through a microscope and discovers these patterns about the blood that can change people's lives? I mean, where did this start for you? Maybe we should just start with that.
Well, it started at a very young age when I was about 6 years old. Rather than asking mom for the regular encyclopedias, I wanted the science encyclopedias.
Oh, that's interesting.
For Christmas, I asked for the Invisible Man so I could take out the parts of the body and put them back in again. I was ordering.
You're a scary fellow.
Yeah. I was asking mom and dad for college books, physiology books. They had some of the coolest pictures in them, you know, these little transparencies that you could just look at all the different parts and study how the body worked. And so, Tony, it's been in my blood for a long, long time.
So to speak.
So to speak, right.
That's interesting. That's fascinating. Well, tell me something. You've made these discoveries. We'll talk about the discoveries. Let's just talk about something fundamental. Everybody out there would love to have more energy. And we live in a society where most people just don't have any energy. If there's any definition of society, it's lethargic, at least by my definition. Why do people struggle with having enough energy to make it through the day? What causes that? What's the basis of the challenge that we're seeing in most of society?
What I'm seeing in my research is what people don't perceive, and what I've learned through this research is that our foods need to be energetic, and we need to feed our bodies. Our bodies are bioelectrical, and we need to be providing those bioelectrical properties of foods that will not only nourish our bodies but provide energies. And so we're struggling for energies because our foods are basically dead. They contain no energy value, and now we can measure that energy values of different foods.
Yes, I guess traditionally in science we think of the value of foods and its caloric value. You look at it differently, I guess.
Well, not only caloric, but we look at carbohydrate or proteins and fats, and now we can look at whether a food is acid, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, or alkaline or base, or what the energy value of a food is. For example, an avocado would have an energy value of maybe 70 to 80 megahertz versus, let's say, a cooked food could be as low as 5 to 10 megahertz. And so the energy value would be considerably less.
And where that's important, I know in your research, is you've shown that different organs of the body overall have a certain amount of energy just to function at their peak. So I guess like the brain, the heart, some of the most the liver are what, in the 60, 70 megahertz
right.
that you need to function?
Yeah.
But most people's diets, I guess, they're eating things like hamburgers that are down at what level?
They're down about 3 to 5 megahertz. Chicken, the same, is down around 3 megahertz. In fact, as I measure cancer or tumors, when the body contains those tumors are measuring about 30 megahertz. And so
wow.
I perceive that death begins about 40 to 35 megahertz. And our diets, the American diet, is ranging between 10 to 30 megahertz. And so we're dragging, we're suffering from the energies that we need, and we're trying to stimulate our bodies through non-energetic foods, only getting the...
Like coffee and...
Exactly.
Right.
We're getting the sensation of energy, but it's an illusion. It's not real energy.
Right. So what we're really putting ourselves in a position is a deficit. It's like making deposits in the bank. If you need 70 megahertz to be at functional efficiency and you're only putting in 10 or 15 or 20, pretty soon you start to, I guess, drag down your nerve energy in your body. You start to pull. And pretty soon you're in a position where there's nothing to pull upon and you start to break down, I guess. Is that the metaphor?
Exactly. You're pulling. Rather than making energy deposits, you're making energy withdrawals.
Right.
And so when you're adding those foods, which are high in energy value, and this energy value can be measured in foods, between 70 megahertz up to 350 megahertz, you're going to be making deposits and you're energetic. These are the live organic raw foods or even fresh juices that are so energetic versus those that are pasteurized or processed or cooked, which we refer to as dead foods, have very little or no energetic value.
So while not all proteins are equal in their value to our body in terms of energy, not all fats are equally good or bad, and not all carbohydrates are, obviously. So you have a way of measuring that. Megahertz is a technical term to most people, but it's really a measure, I guess, of the electrical energy available within those foods. Is that correct?
Of that matter. The energy that it's emitting.
Right.
And that can also be visualized using Krillian photography. You can actually see the energy coming off that matter through this process of photography, and it's beautiful art.
I think it's fascinating because while we may not understand the electrical side, although some people have heard megahertz with their computer. I guess computers used to be about 150 megahertz, then they went to 2, and now some of the supercomputers, or not super, but some of the stronger computers have up to 500 megahertz. But most people don't know what it's like to have that kind of energy charge that's in their computer, even in their own body.
Everything starts working faster, just like those high-frequency computers. Your brain starts operating at those higher frequencies, so you start thinking better, processing better.
Right.
Everything within the human body electrically starts functioning better.
Well, I guess the brain sends messages to the body. These neurotransmitters are actually bioelectrical. Is that true?
That's correct.
All right. So in order for us to actually have our body functioning, we got to have that electrical circuit to complete the energy circuit so we can communicate, so everything functions. One of your products, it's a green drink that you have. Explain to me, what is this and what's the megahertz level here?
It's a concentration of grasses and leaves and stems that has a frequency, a harmonic frequency of 250 megahertz.
So this is
higher.
Like when you say grasses, like wheatgrass is one of these.
Wheatgrass, barley grass, kamut grass, straw grass, oat grass.
Why is there so much energy available in these grasses?
Well, I perceive that the grasses absorb the light through a process known as photosynthesis.
Right.
And that light or energy is held within structures, molecular structures of chlorophyll that's held by a center atom of magnesium. And so when we eat these grasses, we're actually transmitting energy and light to our bodies.
Right. Now, a lot of people for years have talked about wheatgrass. It became popularized, I think, about 10 or 15 years ago. But when I understand that they're not the same, in other words, I can juice my wheatgrass, and as soon as I do that, it starts to change the structure of it. It still has great value for me. But I guess you've done something with this to make sure that energy goes back in. In other words, I guess when you disturb something, you change the electrical activity of it, like juicing a grass as an example.
Exactly.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, any time you process anything, any food, any matter, you're going to disturb the energy value, and it's going to reduce in its harmonic frequency. And so that charge has to be put back on. And so we actually put that energy charge back upon that matter. Somewhat like if your battery is dead in your car, you get a fresh new battery, or you drive your car up and you bring the cables over and you re-jump your battery from from the battery that's dead.
Right.
So recharge it or alkalize it.
So tell us, what is this acid-alkaline, you know, balance that we have to have? We all hear about pH. Mm-hmm. You know, what the heck does this mean? How does it affect our health?
It's so critical. It represents what's going on from within. Our bodies are bathed in alkalinity. It's essential that our cells are bathed in this. We've talked about, or you probably know about, shampoos that have to be pH balanced.
Right.
Our skin has to be a specific pH balance. Our digestion, in order for that to be carried off properly, has to be in a proper pH. And so even batteries, we hear about alkaline batteries.
Right.
In fact, alkaline batteries last longer because they're energized and alkaline. And when they become deficient in that energy, they go to the opposite side. They become very acidic, and you see that corrosion or those acids literally seeping out of that battery. So that within our own bodies, when that acid builds up, it corrodes. 60,000 miles of our arteries and veins and all of our vessels. I mean, you can imagine how acid can corrode even marble.
Sure.
It does the same thing from within. So it's so important that we maintain the alkalinity of our, or the pH of our blood and our tissues and our lymphatic fluids It's critical. In fact, just as critical as maintaining our temperature. Our body maintains at 98.6. It needs to be maintained. Our pH needs to be maintained. Our fluid pH of approximately 7.365.
Now, that's on a scale from 0 to 14. 14 is pure acid. Is that right?
Correct.
Or 0 is pure acid. Which side is it again?
0 is pure acid.
0 is pure acid, and 14 is pure alkalinity.
Right.
So if 6 or 7 is the middle, we have to be slightly more alkaline, I guess. But what people need to get from this, I think, more than anything else is that we literally are rotting from the insides out by the acids that we create in our system. Most people's diets, they drink a lot of coffee, they eat a lot of meat, they smoke cigarettes, and then what's happening is their body's breaking down. Now, even if you don't do that, I know acid is created just by your emotional state. If you're really stressed out, you create acid. We have all these commercials now where the guy says, I'm going to eat this hot dog and I'm going to eat this chili and all the stuff that's going to destroy my body, but I'm going to have this antacid first. So now I can go ahead and torture myself and I won't right. feel it anymore. It's bizarre. So we know inherently about acid, but we don't understand how our diets really affect it. And even me, I was eating really well, but my white blood cells are ripped open because I was going full right. tilt, never sleeping, full intensity, full passion, never allowing my body to balance itself, and certainly not providing enough alkalinity.
Mm-hmm.
So explain to us then, what does the acid do to the energy in the body? Because you were explaining to me before about what it does. I've seen it, what it does to the electrical energy around a cell.
Well, acids are the expression when matter breaks down, and it carries a positive charge. And that positive charge acts like glue. It's very, very sticky. And so when that acid is present, it makes our cells stick together. When our cells stick together, then we have symptomologies of muddled thinking or slow reactions or forgetfulness or cold hands or cold feet.
Because the circulation, is down.
Because cells have to go into the capillary single file. And so if we're producing too much acid, utilizing up our buffers, our alkalizing pools, our elemental pools, our fat pools, or our protein pools, which help to neutralize these acids, if those are being used up through not replacing them, okay, through a good diet, then these acids will actually start binding cells together, which will cause oxygen deprivation that can lead to a numerous amount of symptomologies.
Well, the first symptomology is the lack of energy, and the second one is cells, very often when they don't have enough energy, everything gets weaker.
Right.
And on top of that, I know that one of the things that happens to cells and they don't get enough oxygen, obviously, is they mutate, and you see a breakdown of cells. Now, I know we'll talk in a few minutes about what your scientific discoveries are there, because it's quite extraordinary. But let's just talk about first, if we look at this, what do we do to make sure that we don't end up in this acid condition? Do we just take a bunch of these antacids?
Well, you probably remember Alka-Seltzer.
Right.
That was from all that acid food that we're producing. In fact, as I've mentioned, food breaks down either into an acid ash or to a base or an alkaline ash.
Okay.
And so we need to be choosing foods and lifestyles. Even our thoughts will affect the amount of acid in the system, which will cause cellular breakdown.
Right.
In fact, digestion is a process of cellular breakdown, fermentation. And we have to have elemental buffers, minerals like calcium and magnesium and zinc, sodium, to help neutralize these acids, or we start breaking down. And of course, the body is continually trying to eliminate this acid through normal elimination. And if those things start breaking down, or we have poor elimination, then acids start backing up a building, kind of like a drain that's backing up. Things just aren't flowing through.
And so those poisons start to create an environment that's more and more polluted. And when that happens, I guess cells begin to adapt to the environment. Just like if we lived in an environment that was polluted here, we'd start to break down, we'd mutate, we'd get sick, or we'd die. Cells do the same thing, I guess.
Exactly. The terrain is so very, very important. So we deal with not any specific disease. We're dealing with an environmental condition.
Right.
We have cellular pollution
right.
Within the fluids of our body. We have oxygen pollution. Cells produce energy. When that energy is produced, there's waste products, which are acids, that need to be eliminated.
And the body knows how to do that.
One of those is uric acid.
Sure.
And if that acid isn't eliminated, then it can lead to the symptomology of gout.
Right. Because the reason it doesn't get eliminated is people's nerve energy is so low because they haven't had enough energy brought into the body to function. But also, there's a cumulative effect, I guess, of all this acid in the system polluting the environment, healthy cells becoming more unhealthy, and then pretty soon your body's not working at its functional efficiency. And as a result, you get a buildup, and that buildup eventually has to get out of your system. If it comes out of your skin, it's one thing. If it comes between your toes, I guess it's another.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic cause of it seems to be very similar.
Exactly. It's very, very similar. So the symptoms that you're expressing are the manifestation, not the cause. The cause, this is a foundational theory of one of my discoveries, is due to an inverted way of living, eating, and thinking. which gives rise to physical or emotional disturbances, which gives rise to all of this acid which builds up into the system, which is manifested from cancer to AIDS to diabetes to toe fungus to heartburn to angina to onward and onward. These are just manifestations of physical and emotional disturbances that are brought on through the body trying to maintain this very sensitive balance between acid and alkaline.
Right, and it has to maintain it or you would die. Now, one of the great metaphors that you gave my wife when you were describing this was when she had these parasites in her system, she immediately was panicked, and everybody told her, you got to take all this medicine that kills the parasites. And you pointed out, listen, you got to make a healthy environment that you can kill the parasites and they'll just come back. And I think the metaphor you gave her was, if you're in an environment where there are lots of mosquitoes and you go kill off all the mosquitoes, but you still have this polluted water, stagnant
right.
water, you're going to have more mosquitoes again.
Right.
You know, and you're going to spend your whole life doing it. And plus the poison you put to kill the mosquitoes starts to create another imbalance in your environment, because that's a poison too.
Right.
Or I think the other metaphor you also gave one of my kids was, they were just starting to cleanse, and I think you shared it with me and I shared it on with them, was they said, well, I'm doing pretty good. How come I still, you know, having this little challenge? And you said, well, listen, if you clean out half your trash can, the flies still come back.
Right.
You know, you got to cleanse the system. The environment is everything. And we're even seeing in some of the HIV research, there's quite a bit of controversy about whether HIV is the source of AIDS anymore, because you've got Montagnier, you know, from the Pasteur Institute in France saying, well, HIV by itself can't do it. And in fact, they're all saying now there must be a cofactor, and they're also suggesting that HIV mutates, that it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is they're finding as the environment and the body changes, cells change.
Mm-hmm.
Let's come back to a second before we talk about that, because I want to talk about some discoveries. I keep saying that, but I know it's technical, so I'm kind of waiting.
All right.
But let's do this. You helped me to get my body in balance. You did it by getting me to eat some foods, more of the foods that were more alkaline, but you also gave me some specific elements from my system that gave me some of my reserves back. Can you describe that?
Well, there's about 8 buffering systems that or pools the body needs, and one of the major is the elemental buffers. And so what I introduced to you are those specific elements in larger concentrations, such as zinc, magnesium, manganese, calcium, elemental sodium that carries the negative charge, not with the chloride, okay, that you can get just by eating and juicing celery. It's a great source for elemental sodium that carries that electrical frequency that's helpful to the body. But these particular elements act as chelators. Now, that's a big word, but these elements will actually, because of their charge, which is negative, will attract these acids, which are positive, just like magnets, will then couple and then take it then out of the body. So they act as desensitizers or neutralizers of various poisonous substances.
And what happened for me when you gave me these was immediately this burst of energy that was substantial, because I was going out the equivalent of weightlifting continuously and having lactic acid, so I'm on stage going for it. But now those acids were getting out of my system. So instead of breaking down, I was staying strong. To this day, you know, I have a chiropractor that travels with me, and because I always want to be totally aligned, totally on target. He's been with me, I think, about 3.5 years, and I'll never forget, any time he's ever come to work on me, I've always had, like, weakness in my adrenal glands, for example. I've always had various challenges, and he always works on me to get me straightened out, and then I go. For the first time in 3.5 years, my adrenal glands were solid. Now, this has been about almost, 10, 12 months now, probably 10 months now since I started with your work. I haven't had a single day where my adrenal glands aren't solid. And it's not because I'm not using them. Mm-hmm. I'm using them like crazy, but I'm not having all that acid beginning to break me down.
Right.
Let's talk about something I found fascinating. I got to spend 6 days with you recently, and I went through your blood class, which is filled with, you know, doctors from Russia and from Ireland and from all over the world,
right.
Some nurses and some additional people here from America. And I got to watch the blood and see the impact on the blood. But one of the things that was fascinating was watching some of your patients come in and seeing their blood, the befores and afters. And one woman in particular I was fascinated by was the woman with a hypercholesterol.
Right.
Because we hear so much about cholesterol these days, good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. But this woman has been studied by the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, since she was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's now 37 years old, to give you an idea. Her father, if I remember correctly, died at 42. There's nobody in their family has less than 400 points of cholesterol or above.
Exactly.
No one below 400 anyway. Father died at 42, I think. Her mother was at 40. Her sister at 39. She's 37. And she came to see you, I don't know how long ago. How long ago was that?
It's been about 4 or 5 months.
Right. I think when I saw her, it had only been about 6 or 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And tell us the story. She's lost how much weight? And no matter what the NIH has done, she's never been able to cut her cholesterol down. They put her on no cholesterol diets, low cholesterol diets. Mm-hmm. Nothing would lower it. And what, tell us the story. What's happened?
Well, the result, she had 30 different symptomologies, of which over 25 of those symptoms were reversed within a short period of 6 weeks.
Wow.
Two of them were quite interesting. She dropped over 50 pounds in 4 weeks.
Wow.
And her cholesterol, the LDLs, dropped from 450 down to 230.
Oh, that is fantastic. Now, how is that possible? I know the NIH and was the University of Utah that was also studying her?
Exactly.
I know they've been studying her. The NIH, as I said, since she was 14. I know they put her on low fat, no fat, low cholesterol, no cholesterol. Nothing has ever lowered her cholesterol, anybody in her families. How did you do this?
Well, good oils are essential. They act as a binder or a grabber of acids. And if that acid that's flowing through our arteries isn't neutralized, it'll burn holes in our arteries, leading up to something more serious, death.
Right,
you literally bleed to death. And
right.
So the body's protecting itself. So it's releasing cholesterol to neutralize the acid so you don't die. And so it's a protective mechanism. Tony, if you don't have oils, good oils in your diet, you end up with an array of symptomologies that can lead to something even more serious.
Well, I've seen that in your lab when you've shown me people's cells who don't have enough good fats in their diet. We're so afraid of fat in this society because we think it's going to make us fat. And you show me these cells and they have such weak, I guess, membranes on them.
Right.
You can see it visually. You know, there's not enough strength. So what really is happening, I guess, is the cholesterol sent, you know, we don't consume any cholesterol. Our body manufactures cholesterol. We don't need any cholesterol from the outside world, right?
Right, exactly.
And so that cholesterol is sent basically to protect the artery as a binder, but if we keep eating in an acid way or living in an acid way, then it just keeps building up till the blood itself can't go through.
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly.
Extraordinary to see that kind of result for somebody. Now, she's lost 50 pounds. That brings up something. Now, all of you have been listening. Now here's the payoff for those you don't care about health, but you care about fat, okay? Because one of the things that's amazing, I see people that work out so hard, and they can't lose those last 10 pounds. And everyone's told me, well, their metabolism's strong enough, and I've said, well, you got to get your metabolism up. And as I got a little bit older, I found, you know, gosh, I'm working hard, my metabolism's got to be high. How come, you know, I have to work that much harder now to get the same result? And what you shared with me is it's an acid problem, that
right.
If we have all this acid in our body retains fat. Why?
Well, it retains it to neutralize the acids. Here again, if the body doesn't retain the fat to neutralize the acid, it's going to burn holes in your veins, in your arteries, in your lymphatic system, in your brain, in organs that sustain life. So the body retains these fats to neutralize acids, and then it puts it on the thighs or the hips or somewhere where you don't want it, but it's a protective mechanism to protect the organs that sustain life.
So really what I've heard you say before is that, you know, a fat problem is not a fat problem, but
no.
It's an acid problem.
Obesity is not a fat problem, it's an acid problem. And most people just don't have the understanding of what creates acids, what types of foods. In fact, some of those foods which we perceive are actually alkalizing are actually acid producing.
Well, one of the things that happens also when people exercise like crazy to an extreme because they want to get that fat off is they actually are building up more and more acids. They're over-exercising.
And they use up their pools of reserve, alkalizing reserves, their elemental reserves, their fat reserves, their protein reserves. And so the body gets in a deficit, so it's going to retain fat to neutralize these acids. So that last 5, 10 pounds or 20 pounds, you just can't get rid of until you go on a diet that's going to be more alkalizing, which I perceive as more green foods and green drinks.
Right, live green vegetables and so forth.
Right.
And we'll come back to that specifically, but it's interesting. So she lost 50 pounds in 6 weeks. Most people would say that's impossible. You can't do that healthfully. But the reason the fat was dropped off is the body had the buffers, the alkaline reserves, because you had her drinking an amazing amount of I guess, green drinks, some alkalizing, as well as some of the nutrients. Is that true?
Right. We call it super greens. It's a concentration of grasses and leaves and stems in a concentrated form, a 20-to-1 concentration. And the reason that I put it in a 20-to-1 concentration, because it takes 20 parts of base or alkalinity to neutralize one part acidity to maintain an alkaline pH of 7.365, which is necessary for all of our fluids within the body.
So let me stop you because that was very technical.
Okay.
Again, on a scale from 0 to 14, 0 is pure acid, 14 is pure alkaline. We need to be at 7.36, and it's so sensitive in the body, we would die if that varied how much?
Well, even 1 or 2 points.
Wow. So our body in the bloodstream, so that we don't become too acid if we have that, takes the acids out of the bloodstream and puts it into the fats as a binder, as an example. Or it uses magnesium, or it uses calcium, or it uses zinc to, as a way to bind it and get rid of the acids. So if a person is constantly putting acid into their system, even if they're just doing it by their mindset and their exercise, they're going to maintain some fat because their body needs it. But there are some people that are extremely skinny and they have a really acid diet. How does that work?
Well, it's just the opposite of the same coin. Their pools are also deficient, and so they're not retaining those necessary fats or proteins to help build bodies, and their cells are breaking down because of excess acidity, and so they need to also build up the elemental pools and the protein pools and the oil, good oil pools, to help build and structure healthy cells. Every cell membrane is made up of a bilayer of fat. And so fats are critical for building healthy cells. And so we become deficient with this mindset that we need to eliminate fats out of our diets.
But the truth is, you said we need healthy fats. What are the healthy fats that you're describing as an example? Go ahead.
Yeah, some of the healthy fats would be like cold-pressed oils. And when I say cold-pressed, that would be processed under temperatures of 70 degrees Fahrenheit or less.
Mm-hmm. And you can buy those in the health food store, even the regular store these
exactly.
days.
Exactly, like flaxseed or sunflower seed or hemp seed or borage seed oils are excellent.
How about olive oil?
Olive oil is good. It's higher in mono unsaturated fats, but what we're looking for is the long chain fats, the polyunsaturated fats, which are more flexible and pliable for helping to build cell structure.
Well, there was an article that just came out this last month that was published in many articles in many newspapers, but it was in the USA Today, and the title was Fatty Mediterranean Diet Cuts Heart Attack Risks. Mm-hmm. And what it went through is it talked about people with heart disease who follow this relatively high-fat Mediterranean diet lowered the risk of suffering a second heart attack by up to 70%, the study said. And it goes through and talks about how they did research on this Mediterranean diet that was much more fat. They were getting 40% of their calories from fat or more, and saying that these people were more healthy than the people who are on the traditional American Heart Association diet of 30% of their calories or less from fat. Now, the American Heart Association is still sticking by their current recommendations, it says here, but now the scientists are having a big argument about this, saying that's really important. And in light of what you've described here, it sounds like we need to at least look at getting healthy fats. Like, I have people say, oh, I can't have avocado, it'll make me get fat, you know, and yet avocado is absolutely amazing in what it does for your body in terms of lubricating the cells, giving the cells what they need, and providing nerve energy, because I guess it's very high in megahertz energy. Is that true?
Over 70 megahertz or higher. It'd be like going without oil, like not putting oil in your car. Or how about the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz? What if he didn't have that oil in his joints? We start creaking and cracking. Those little creaks and cracks we feel when we bend down, those are acid deposits that have been calcified with sodium and calcium. And so we need to help our body by flushing these acids out through alkalizing and energizing the body through foods like avocados that can help neutralize but also these acids, but also provide a fat that's excellent for creating energy. It's a cleaner fuel when we're burning fat. It's kind of like burning diesel, which is dirty, versus burning these high octane fuels, which is cleaner. So I perceive that fat is a cleaner way to produce energy than burning carbohydrate or even protein.
Well, what's interesting to watch what happens, you know, Stu Middleman, who's one of my mentors, and many people at Master University have met him personally, he ran 1,000 miles in 11 days, you know, 85 miles, I think, on average per day. It's the equivalent of 3 marathons plus a day. Mm-hmm. He was sleeping only 3 hours a night, you know, running 21 straight hours. And his whole ability to do that was by keeping his body alkaline and by burning fat specifically. He trained his body to burn fat, because fat gives you energy that lasts forever. Whereas sugar is like, the description I've heard is like the charcoal is the fat, it'll burn forever. But that little flame, in fact, those phosphates that you see on the end of a match is like, boom, that's like burning sugar. It's like lighter fluid. It burns up, gives you a lot of energy, and then it's gone. You have nothing left. But the fats allow you to burn through time. But you got to train your body to do that. And part of it, what he did was, he said, listen, if you don't eat fat, there's a thing called the law of mass action. You don't eat fat, your body doesn't burn any of it. And then so what happens, you have a little bit of fat and your body doesn't burn it. You live on sugar, which is energy that goes and disappears. So let's talk about now some of the dietary recommendations. What are some of the ways that we can alkalize our body? What are some of the actual foods to eat that will alkalize? And then what are some of the products that you have? Because I definitely want to promote those to people because they've changed my life. But go ahead.
Well, my wife is excellent in feeding me. She prepares incredible alkalizing meals. But your whole mindset has to change. Breakfast has to change.
Right.
You would, I mean, your diet starts out with broccoli, I think.
Yes.
Breakfast starts out with broccoli. I mean, broccoli is highly alkalizing. It is approximately 47% protein.
So. Yeah, that's one of the things people always say to me, go, but where are you going to get your protein if you're a vegetarian or if you just have a little fish? I mean, how are you going to do that? And it's,
well, 70% of the protein that's created is created within the body. We have pools of protein that are formed. It's formed at the anatomical level.
Right.
These proteins are built. And so food combining takes on a whole different issue.
Right.
Because most of the proteins that are organized from within, right. not from without.
Well, you look at the strongest animals in the world, you look at a gorilla, you know, what is it eating? Bamboo leaves and a few pieces of fruit. You know, it's not killing anything else to do it. And most of the strongest animals in the world with the longest endurance are all vegetarians. They're getting the protein from the foods, mm-hmm. like the broccoli. But let's talk about that, because one of the things that I've taught people for years is that your scientific, you know, understanding and demonstration for me changed me radically, and I stand completely mm-hmm. corrected, which is I've always thought of fruit as the ideal food because mm-hmm. it took the least amount of energy to actually consume. Mm-hmm. You're able to immediately have that energy for your body, and it was a cleansing food because it's mostly water, which is one of the things that
right.
I promote. But what I've seen now is that the challenge is we live in a society where we're consuming so many carbohydrates, so many sugars in our body, and those sugars actually create an environment in which cells start to mutate. The mm-hmm. body's acid, those cells mutate,
exactly.
and one of the things that happens is we end up with a great deal of candida in our society. You can't turn on TV without seeing another yeast commercial
right.
for women, but it's candida also in all, both men and women. And what happened is I had a lot of that because it was, I guess the fruit was feeding it and it was mm-hmm. growing. So
okay.
let's talk about, so I don't recommend that, by the way, anymore. I don't recommend fruit as the first thing in the morning, especially for people that they go have a blood test or they go see that they've got a great deal of yeast in their system, which mm-hmm. is unfortunately most of America. Why is there so much yeast out there in our systems? And, you know, mm-hmm. what are some of the other foods that people can have?
Well, talking about fruit, okay, like bananas, you've mentioned that they're high water content, and that's true.
But well, bananas isn't as much, though.
But they're also high sugar content.
That's true.
Like, for example, a banana is about 25% sugar, and that sugar cannot be metabolized or broken down quick enough, and so it goes to lactic acid. And that acid, if it's not moved out, will be bound by fats or other elements like calcium, so it's going to take calcium from your bone. Or it's going to use fat and put it somewhere on your body, and that's why people can't lose weight. Now, I know that's probably hard to hear,
right.
but it's amazing when you eliminate high sugar fruits out of the diet, you actually start losing weight. And when you put the low sugar fruits in, like lemons and limes, which are perceived as acid, they're actually alkaline. And the reason why is because they're low sugar, high water content food. It's how the sugar breaks down that produces the acid.
I see.
Okay? And so the higher the sugar, more acid. The lower the sugar, the less acid. So lemons, limes, tomatoes, okay, and avocados, which are fruits.
Yeah, because they have a seed, right?
Yeah, even some grapefruit. The bitter grapefruits are also alkalizing because of their low sugar content.
I see.
And so if we're getting a lot of sugar in the diet, that's going to ferment, creating excess acidity, and that acid's going to settle somewhere in our bones or our joints or our muscles, and that's where we get soreness. Inflammation is, or pain is synonymous with acid. Acid
right.
equals pain, and pain equals acid.
So what I try to tell people to describe this is sugar equals acid ultimately for most people, and whether that be sugar coming from fruit or sugar coming from a candy bar, I mean, obviously there's a different type of sugar, a different way it's metabolized, but it still ends up having the same impact. Or you're eating a lot of carbohydrates, more than your body can handle, and that body, I should say, refined carbohydrates, and that body is then trying to figure out how to deal with that, so you end up with those sugars. Those sugars actually feed, I guess, candida. Maybe what we should talk about, so many areas to go here, I'm trying to figure where we go first. I think maybe the first place to go is, you said something about calcium. I'm concerned a lot of people, when they think of having calcium, they think of, oh, that means I should go drink a big glass of milk. But let's talk
right.
about that. What does milk do? Does the body really absorb the calcium in milk? And
well,
what's a better source?
That's an excellent question, Tony. Milk contains a sugar. It's lactose. And that lactose ferments to lactic acid. And that lactic acid strips the calcium right out of our bone. Now, we don't think about that. We think about milk as being a calcium contributor, which in reality, it's a chelator, or that literally pulls calcium from the bone. And so we discourage milk because of its sugar content that breaks down to lactic acid. And another discovery which I've made is that around any cancer or tumor is a higher concentration of lactic acid. So I've associated cancer with lactic acid.
Right. I've seen some of the research, and Dr. Salman was talking to me about some of the research that he read of yours in that area. It's quite extraordinary. But also, there's obviously the challenge, which is mother's milk is quite different in its concentration of growth hormone than calf's milk or cow's milk.
Exactly.
There's a radical different shift there. But people think the strongest bones that they can have is they eat lots of meat, drink lots of milk. But I know the research now shows, it's been done at Harvard and other places, that in fact, the vegetarians who are taking the least meat and they're not drinking the traditional dairy products have the strongest bones of all because they're not leaching it from their system. But you shared something else interesting with that I thought, which was talking about when people get older, them getting smaller. And you said, what does that come from? And
Ask
most people, why do you think people get smaller? You go, well, as you age, you get smaller. Well, why? Not everybody does.
Because calcium is one of the elements that's used to neutralize acid. And so our body starts shrinking.
And when literally, because we're pulling from the bones?
Pulling from the bones. And so our bodies start compressing. And so when you start putting back elements that build these pools, these elemental pools, you start regaining your health. You start regaining your height. And this has actually happened.
Right.
Now, we've had recalcification of bone, even recalcification of cavities within teeth where the cavities literally pop out of the mouth.
Well, it's interesting. I was talking actually to my dentist, who clearly does some great work. I was talking to him, and he was saying, I was talking to him about your work, and he said that in the dental schools now, and some of the research they have for their extended educations, is that they're finding that, he said, I always used to think of cavities as that sugar is what does it, but he said what it actually is the acid created by the, he was telling me this, the acid created by the sugar is what, he said, your teeth, sugar doesn't drill its way in there, it's the acid that burns the hole into something as hard as a tooth.
Right.
And he said, that's really the challenge. And he said, so it's really making sure as people brush their teeth, they get those acids out of their teeth is really what that's all about. It's fascinating.
Yeah, in fact, this is really tough to hear because you come from the great state of California and you have oranges here, just like Florida would have a difficult time with this. And because of the high sugar content that's contained within orange juice, particularly that which is pasteurized.
Right, where it's cooked.
Cooked or processed, now it's lost its bioelectrical energy. On top of that, you're getting the sugar hit. That sugar ferments, and it's amazing what that sugar does in the human body.
Well, I saw in your lab there with all those doctors from Russia and from Ireland and so forth, where you had somebody, the guy was drinking his orange juice, and he was so committed to it, and you said, I know this is not going to be happy for you, but go ahead. And then you did his blood. And then we saw all of his white blood cells, and we see them on the screen, about half of them freeze for, how long was it?
About 3 to 5 hours. 50% of their ability to operate is shut down through eating or drinking fruits, high sugar fruits, or drinking fruit juices. Even though they're high water content, because of the high sugar, that sugar is then fermented, produces the acid, and just like alcohol poisons cells, these acids, these lactic acids and acetic acids, poison the immune system, and it just paralyzes it. It sits there and just shudders and shakes. It can't even move.
And you see it in the blood, which is so dramatic. And of course, I've been teaching people to eat fruit their whole life. that was brilliant of me. But I mean, I have experienced so much cleansing properties from it. But as you were cleansing, it was better than eating, the burger and fries. But it certainly wasn't anything close to the ideal that you're talking about now, that I'm experiencing now. And to be able to say, I'm not going to have fruit, on a large scale is pretty important. But when you think about drinking orange juice, it isn't eating an orange in its natural form.
Right.
It's having, a dozen oranges or eight oranges or seven oranges all squeezed together, five oranges squeezed together. So the concentration is more than if you just went into nature and consumed it. Plus, most of us are not in a natural state. We're living in a state where we're eating so many pastas and meats and things that, pasta is basically glued to an extent that the body's already overwhelmed. If it didn't have that problem, then the fruit would probably be fine. But when you stack it, that's when we really have the problem here.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about this change in diet, one of the most important things that I got from you, though, was learning to what I call superhydrate. That's the term you use for it, which is really giving the body the water that it needs, but water that's either structured, like we have this lemon in the water, or the water with a green drink, which is what gives you the massive energy because you get those 250 megahertz. Talk about superhydration for a moment, and why is that so valuable for the energy of the body, the cleansing of the body, and the health of the body?
Okay, well, there's a difference between fluids and structured water. I mean, you could be drinking coffee, that's a fluid, but that's not necessarily hydrating your body. It's actually putting more acid in the body because of its acidic state. The caffeine, of course, is a toxic acid that goes in there too as well.
Are you saying people can't have their Starbucks with their cream?
Well,
get them, Bobby, get them.
You mean, well, if they want to rot their brains, I guess they can do. The acid stops, I call them. This is not a way to bring the body back into balance or energize the body with coffee or chocolate or other things that are acid producing.
What does coffee do? As long as we're here, so people know, because I've talked to people about this for years, and as a society we're addicted to it. You know, what does coffee do? Doesn't, you know, don't we get a burst of energy from it?
You get a burst of energy because of the poison that's going in.
What do you mean? Describe
that. The caffeine is a poison. So the poison goes in, and so it has to be neutralized. So there's a burst of energy to try to neutralize that before it kills you.
So the body speeds up to try and figure out how to deal with that acid.
Exactly. So it uses its alkalizing buffers to neutralize that caffeine while you're getting a hit of energy, you know, because everything's working up to neutralize that poison. Okay.
And blood sugar stimulation from, I assume, from your adrenal glands as well.
Exactly.
Is that true?
Okay. Kidneys, hormones, anything that's going to neutralize that in order to prevent the toxicity level. So it has to be diluted. And so those types of fluids have to be eliminated in order to keep or maintain a body that's in balance and energetic.
So if you wanted to lose weight and you're drinking coffee, it's going to be hard to get those last 5 or 10 pounds off unless your genetic tendency is that when you get acid that your cells break down even faster and you don't retain the fat. I guess there are two different genetic tendencies in how we deal with
acid. Then you're wasting. It's going to pull it from the bones. It's going to pull it from the muscles. So your protein, your magnesium, your elements are going to be wasted. So to neutralize these acids, you're not going to be able to build healthy cells, or you're going to be retaining fat, you know, to neutralize those acids, you know, so they don't kill you.
Well, the interesting thing is, when you look at people like this, what they have is that initial stimulation in there, but they're exhausted later on, and they got to go back to the coffee. So it's just another drug in their lives, and they're not getting what they want. So one of the things that I found, though, is that when a person's body becomes more alkaline, I found this when I said, okay, the next 10 days, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go full out. I'm not going to say, oh, my God, I can't eat anything. I'm just going to really be alkalized. I didn't have desire for anything that was acid. You know, most people, for example, when they drink coffee, you know, if they smoke, they also drink coffee for sure, because those mm-hmm. two are both acid addictions. Mm-hmm. And they like eating a lot of meat and so forth. But when you get alkaline, it's not like it takes any willpower. Yeah. You don't crave it. Your body is radically different.
Well, that's a state of balance. Right. When you're in a state of imbalance, then you're going to be craving these acid types foods, because here again, just like flies find their natural habitat, whatever the biological terrain is, these cells are going to go to that particular habitat. So the very foods you crave are the very foods you need to avoid.
Right. Well, let's talk about that from the specific of how the body gets out of balance, because this is where some of your science is quite extraordinary. And we've had some videotape that we can even show people later on. But describe what happens. I know that we get out of balance because something first, I guess, disturbs us. You know,
right.
Like if you came and punched me really hard or I was in a car accident, that's going to disturb the cells. Mm-hmm. If you get stressed out, you can disturb the cells. If you eat an acid diet, that acid's going to disturb the cells. Once they're disturbed, I guess that's the first step. What's the second step that starts to put us out of balance? What occurs?
Well, when there's an emotional or physical disturbance, then there's cellular disorganization.
Right.
And when there's cellular disorganization, this gives rise to germs.
So in other words, when cells disorganize, they're really just adapting to a declining pH, right? To an
right.
environment where it's becoming more acid. And then the environment gets polluted. And as the environment gets polluted, cells start to adapt. They literally to survive, right? It's
right.
really life-seeking life. And these healthy cells become unhealthy.
Exactly.
Right? Seeing germs.
Well, you see this on the counter. When matter starts breaking down, there's acids that elude. I mean, it's rot. Foods putrefy.
Right.
The same things happen to our cells. And as cells disorganize or matter breaks down, acids come out of that. The specific
right.
acid is sialic acid. And those acids are very, very toxic and have to be neutralized. If they're not, they'll cause corrosion within our arteries and veins.
So let me see if I'm clear here to recap. Something disturbs us. We make a dietary change, or we have a buildup of a bad diet through time, and it mm-hmm. disturbs our cells. Or we have certain emotions, intensity, stress in our lives. Whatever we do, we disturb the cells enough that they start to disorganize. Because whenever we have a diet that's acid or acid emotions, mm-hmm. it changes the bloodstream. And
right.
so these cells, as they do it, they get stripped of their energy, of those positive or negative charges, I guess, and then the environment gets polluted. Now
right.
the environment's polluted, now healthy cells, you know, start to have to adapt in order to live. So
right,
they start to actually form. We're going to come back and talk about bacteria mm-hmm. and some of the fungus and so forth that grows in that polluted environment. Now they proliferate. But these acid, I should say, these little creatures, so to speak, these bacteria and these molds and so forth, and then they create their own acid, don't they?
Right.
And is that the final step? And these acids then...
Debilitating acids then lead to more physical disturbances, which lead to even a greater compromised environment. So you're in the cycle of imbalance. And this is a whole new paradigm.
Right.
And you all know this. All you have to do is open your refrigerator and go to the back of the refrigerator and look at some of the foods that have gone through this cycle of imbalance. Whole foods rot from the inside out, not the outside in.
Right.
So when we see bananas, they go from a green to a yellow to a brown to a black. This is a process of cellular disorganization. What caused the cellular disorganization was the picking process. So when we picked it, that was
right.
the disturbance,
right.
which led up to this cellular disorganization, which led up to the compromised environment. So we start seeing acid spots, those little black spots on the banana,
right.
those are acid spots that lead to even more debilitating acids, which then the banana goes rotten, and then
right.
we throw it away. The same thing happens to our healthy cells. So there's a healthy form and an unhealthy form of every cell.
So basically we rot from the inside out as people. Most of us are, as we age, we're not really aging, we're rotting. We're putting so much acid in that our calcium reserves are being taken down, our cells are being leached, or the calcium that we need to protect ourselves against the acid are being leached from our bones, for example.
Right.
And then we're creating more and more acid in the system, and we're getting more and more tired because our cells are sticking together from all the acid. We're not getting the oxygen we need. The environment is getting more and more polluted. Healthy cells now are in a unhealthy environment, so they're starting to get weaker and break down, and it just gets worse and worse, and people are in the downward spirals, what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And so then we move to the coffee, we move to the diet drinks, and so, and this
to
is
to try and
really,
stimulate the energy we don't have.
And this is just new breakthrough science. These sugar substitutes like NutraSweet, when they are metabolized in the human body, they break down to formaldehyde
Ooh.
And then to formic acid. So even these diet drinks are producing acids and putting on more weight. So those formaldehydes and formic acids have to be balanced, so the body has to retain fat or get fat from somewhere to neutralize the acids that puts it on our hips, and we think we're drinking a drink that's going to help us lose weight, and all it's doing is putting more weight on.
So that's how you can drink that one calorie drink
and still get fat.
And still get fat. Like, where? I want to know where they put the other calories. You know?
This session continues on the next CD.